Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Jasagonie, Will Bluewater, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks. In Mid-America, and we are very, very honored to have as our guest beginning Saturday, the 31st of July, Grandfather Hunbat's men. To my knowledge, Grandfather Hunbat hasn't been, I could be wrong, but I've never heard him interviewed anywhere, and in any case, we're very honored to have him. Robert Ghost Wolf arranged this interview, and so first let me introduce Dr. Robert Ghost Wolf, and he'll interview introduce Grandfather Hunbat, and we'll go from there. So, Robert, go ahead.
Osayo, and probably what would be more appropriate today would be to say Ilakesh, and I am your other self in Mayan. And we are very honored today to have Grandfather Ombudsman with us. He is a Mayan daykeeper. He's revered and known around the world. He just came back from a tour, I believe, in Germany and England, yes, where he did ceremonies with Celts and talked to our brothers over there. And he's been gracious enough to spend some time with us today. He will be back again. Because how can you tell the Mayan story in, you know, an hour, even 3 hours? If any of you have ever gone down to Mayaland, you know that you can spend months there and still not get the whole story. But we're very honored today to have Hunbatsman with us. And I'd just like to say, Hunbats, welcome to Prophecy Keepers.
Thank you very much, Robert. And the honor is for me to speak with the people and say something for the people in the United States. So the honor's for me. So, what can I say?
You're got it, daughter. Well, there's a lot of people that are really interested in what you have to say. I know you have an internet connection. At least you have a website, and we do have mutual friends. We've interviewed Jaime Perez concerning his activities, and I understand he's done some translation work for you. We've also interviewed Ron Pastore of Mound Matrix, and I understand that you're familiar with Ron and his activities. And Grandfather Humbus, you're on a lot of people's tongues and in a lot of people's minds up here, and we're not trying to flatter you, but this is going to be listened to by a lot of people. This interview will be available permanently. People will be able to listen to it anytime they want to, just by clicking on a link on an internet website. And anyway, we're just very, very pleased, and I know a lot of people are going to really enjoy hearing what you have to say.
Okay.
What do we start with? Prophecies?
Whatever he'd like to talk about.
Okay. Well, you know, the Mayas, we have many prophecies. We have the prophecy of the calendar that is speaking now. We have the prophecy of the destruction of the air. So, we have the prophecy of the atomic bomb too. But I kind of speak about a little about the prophecy of the Mother Earth. You know, we have some woman long time ago, before the Spanish came to this Maya land, she spoke about the prophecy of the destruction of the earth. And this woman, the name is Nishnukin. Nishnukin gave the prophecy about when they begin to fight all the animals in this land, and begin to come the destruction between one to another. And one of that animals, he went to close to the last tree exist, and that tree, it was there when this animal came to that tree. This animal have a lot of blood on their body, and then begin to die close to that tree, and the tree just died too. So animals and the trees died together. So in that moment, when it happened that the last human, he died too, because in that moment they saw is no more trees exist in this continent. So now, about how we can interpret say that prophecy today, you know, the last big reservation exists in this continent. The last big reservation of trees exists in this continent is Brazil. And today, huge corporations like Kimberly-Clark have the concessions of Brazil for to take all the trees exist there. So, but not only Kimberly-Clark exists, another companies, Japanese companies. They taking all the trees, they putting all the trees in Brazil. So, many years ago, I went to the Kogis, the indigenous Kogis. They live in Venezuela and Colombia, in the border of each country. And I went there, one of the elders, Hopis, speak with me, and later we have some meeting with the Kogis in that place. And they told me like this, something like this. In the sky of when the sky of this continent is not raining no more. That it means in that place between Colombia and Venezuela, in the border, exists some place with a very high land when it's possible to live in the place. But for they told me when we came to live in this land, Brazil not exists, only the sea is there. Through many thousands of years begin to grow all the trees in all today is the name Brazil. And then because the destruction of the jungle of that place, so when they leave the Cogis, it's not raining more. The reason is because exists some magnetic line crossing all Brazil and crossing here in the Maya land, and that light continued to go inside the United States and goes to Canada. So many years ago they told me this person, the Cogis, told me about that, and I was with them. I was there for 2 or 3 weeks living with there, and they showed me many places with no rain anymore in the top of the sky, they say. So
it's turning into a desert.
It begin to be a desert in that land. So but the surprise of me, around 8 years ago, they came a big hurricane here in the Maya land. And when it finished the hurricane, all these coconut trees we have in the beach, in the Caribbean beach, and in Paro, Yucatan, all that trees, they died too. So the governor of Mexico, they sent some scientific people to investigate why the coconut trees died. And the theory of all the scientific people, they said because the hurricane brings some bacteria and they died all the trees. Well, first, that is the theory of the scientific people. They don't have vision about many things because, you know, in the land of Yucatan, every year we have 2 or 3 hurricanes. And how many years we were living the Mayas here, and how many hurricanes came to this land? It came thousands and thousands of hurricanes. And why not died any coconut tree in all that time? Like all the coconut trees. So for me, I begin to think and remember what the Cogis told me. And then all the coconut trees, for that reason they say scientific, but that's not the truth, because the really truth is they begin to affect the magnetic line coming from Brazil and touching part of the land here. So they died all the coconut trees because the magnetic line, they affected that. So killing all the trees in Brazil, so affecting some power crossing the Mayan land, that's the reason they died at all the coconut trees. But the terrible situation, people from the United States, they think because going to another place to take all these trees, to kill all the trees, like example do that company, Kimberly Clark, going to that place, they think Brazil is far away from the United States. They cannot have nothing to us. So, but they don't understand the real power of the magnetic power of the air, the magnetic line. They don't understand something about that because they don't have the education for to understand Mother Earth. Mother Earth is only one body, and in that body we are living all the people from all the races in all the world. So, because they don't understand this, because they don't have the education, because this kind of education, indigenous education, they don't give in any country the really indigenous education, how to love the Mother Earth. So in the United States, you have a big university, big places where they educate people, but they don't understand really what the indigenous understand about Mother Earth. So what's beginning to happen? The line, this line killing all the coconut tree in Yucatan, cross the United States in the area of the west, no, the east of Texas. Goes inside the United States, cross all the states like in the center of the United States, and then continue in the part of today is the Washington D.C. You know, in Washington D.C. we have many trees there. The last time when I was there, I saw beautiful trees in all that area. So, but the continuing go up to Canada in that place, like in the east,
right,
almost the east coast. So, but the last news I received is some trees from Texas in the east side begin to die too. So the most probably is going to die the trees too. Just when it finish with Brazil, the jungle is going to finish with the trees in the United States too. That part they don't understand in the education they give in that huge country of the United States. So, look, the continent of America have perfect balance, you know, in the north part they have the desert, and in the northern part they have the green part. Like the desert we know is part of the Mexico, Sonora, and New Mexico, and all that states around is a big desert, okay? In the another side exists the green part. So that is the balance it has this continent. But you go into south of this continent, it is the same. In some part like Peru and Ecuador, in that part is a big desert too. In the another side, in the east, is the trees there, like all the Brazil jungle, okay? Well, what's going to happen is just when you finish the trees in Brazil, so the desert is going to grow and cover the South America. And what's going to happen in North America, it's going to happen the same. You see? It's going to happen the same.
Right now, we're in the worst 500-year drought that we've had.
Yeah.
There's no water here.
So it's going to happen the same. And, you know, remember now the prophecy of the Shnukim. The prophecy of the Shnukim of Mani. When this woman made that prophecy before the Spanish came. So they spoke about that. All the animals, they're going to fight one to another. And the last animal, just very sick. And, you know, all the damage happened in their body with a bloody body is going to be to go to the last tree is there. And animals and the trees, they're going to die together. And then when they die together, the last human is going to die too. You know?
Oh.
So this is some of the prophecies we have. But...
And we're seeing this happening now.
Yes, begin to happen. So, but suppose, this is very important. Suppose we're intelligent. Suppose in the United States, it very, very much people's very intelligent. I know they know about this. Suppose maybe Bush is intelligent. Maybe, I don't know. But they need to do something there, because suppose they're the responsible of this huge society today in all the world. So they need to do something. They need maybe to come to the elders, indigenous elders, and ask them what they think about things begin to happen. Because it looks like all the scientific people exist today, they only have one mind. And that mind is only for the service, the big corporation, they work for them. See? So, It's good to try to check prophecies again, because the prophecies, the good prophecies, it's necessary to happen, but the bad prophecies, it's not good to happen. But who can stop this? Only the human. because we are responsible for every bad thing happening to this beautiful land, to this beautiful world. Only the human, we can do good things. But if we don't understand many things, so the prophecy is going to make to remember us what is coming.
Well, if I might interject, you know, the corporation, basically before the Civil War in the United States, businesses were privately owned or there were partnerships, and the corporation really didn't come to the fore until after the Civil War. And Abraham Lincoln prophesied that if corporations ran unchecked, because the whole idea of a corporation is to evade personal responsibility of humans and to make a corporation a business entity. Anyway, Abraham Lincoln predicted that corporations would probably bring about the downfall of the United States. So, they're getting pretty greedy nowadays, the Grandfather Hunbots.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
But the thing is that we have a choice. We don't have to, we can sit and watch it happen and say we can't do anything, or we can actually take an active role and change it. I think that that's something that's lacking with people today, because every time we do things like when we get together on the radio and we do a group prayer for some place, you know, which has been done from time to time, and we stop a drought or we stop a flood, and then people go, "Well, we really can't do this because we're not supposed to meddle." And the thing is that that's, you know, some sort of philosophy is robbing people of their power. We're supposed to work and dance in harmony with the earth. We're supposed to do things like that, I feel.
Yeah, you have a...
Am I wrong, Humbas? I mean, we have the ability to change disaster.
Yes, yes.
You know?
God make us for to understand this.
And spirit doesn't know what you want unless you ask.
Exactly.
Spirit just goes, well, maybe they want it this way, you know?
Yeah.
Because the spirit sort of sits there and goes, well, they've been gone before and we brought them back.
When Tepeu and Google Maps, our creators, they were in some place in the space, and Tepeu and Google Maps say one to another, look, this is time to create the human. And then one of them say, but they don't have where to live. They say, we can create the place. And then they create this beautiful place where we live in today. And they say to Pongumat, we need to create the human and then make and educate them to believe in us because we are the creators. And then they make to appear the air, they make beautiful rivers, beautiful seas, everything beautiful. And Tepeungugumat say, this is the time to put the human in this place. And they put in one place here, and not in another place, and not in another place. But for us, the Mayas, they put this in this continent. And he say, believe in us, and pray to us, because in that way, we can have the eternal communication, and we can protect you, and you can protect us too, because we exist, the Pongumat say. We exist because you exist. If you don't exist, I don't exist too. So that's the agreement, the reason they put here in this beautiful land. So for thousand years, that's one of the reasons all the Mayas, for many thousand years, we did rituals to everything. We did rituals for the water, for the wind, for the fire, for everything exists and gives us life with these rituals. The reason it was because Tepeu and Gugumat give us the indication to work with them, you see. But later, when they change everything and came in this continent, people, they don't believe in the wind. They don't believe in the air. They don't believe in nothing, only some kind of imagine they create. And then
they're talking about the younger brothers.
Yes, everything changes. And now most of my people, most of my Mayan people, they don't know what to believe, what things to believe. So, but only a few people, we are the elders, we have now the Council of the Maya. Only that people, we believe in the same things they give us to believe. And that education they give to believe in Tepeu and Google Maps, it really doesn't be true. Because just when they begin to die, the rivers begin to die, the wind begin to die, the clouds, and begin to happen something in the sky. So now the destruction begin to come, and then everything is going to die. And then maybe Tepeu and Google Maps, they're going to call us, tell us what's happened. I give you all these things, you take care, and now you're coming back with nothing, like in that way. So that's one of the reasons I can say again, when people, they need to be close to the elders, close to the people, they have this kind of knowledge, because in only that way we can give orientation, where can good things can come, and how we can save this Mother Earth is dying day by day.
And this knowledge, you always referred to it to me as the cosmic education, the cosmic knowledge. The Mayans brought this all over the world once, didn't they?
Yes, it's when we investigate many things, like if we go example to La India. Okay. Long time ago, this is not mentioned this only Humbad. You can check in books. Valmiki, this Valmiki from La India, he wrote 2,700 years ago, the Mayas, they came to this place. That's one of the reasons many Mayan names is in the country of La India, because we went there. But something is difficult for people to understand today. We went there because it was in the time when it went to the end, the magnetic point of the spiritual education. You see, spiritual education came many times, but today in this kind of society we have, this modern society, only they speak one time. Like the spiritual education, many people, they came from Jesus, Christian Jesus today. It's true. I agree with that. But happened the spiritual education many times, not only one time. See? So, it looks like Valmiki when he say 2,700 years ago, before Jesus came the Naga Mayas here, we went there with the name of Naga Mayas because this is the time when in this continent went to the end the spiritual education, the magnetic point of this place move to La India. See? Then, from there, begin to come many teachers, masters, like Buddha, like Krishna, like Zoroastro, like the Saint Jesus. But, that's one of the reasons exists that understanding. With the Maya I know, with the Mayan culture I know, I can understand many secrets of the Hindus. The reason is because we are the same people with the same knowledge. But the terrible things happened this. Went to the end, to that place of La India, that is spiritual education. It's no more. Just when the English people, they went to La India, begin to cut down all that power. And then the people, they tried to keep this knowledge going to Tibet. And then when he went to Tibet, they was there keeping this deep knowledge. But one time, the Chinese, they went inside too. When the Chinese went inside a place, they finished the spiritual education in that place. That's one of the reasons the Dalai Lama traveled very much to many places, because they need to relocate, say, another place when they need to grow again the spiritual education. It's no more exists in that place. But still exists some remembrance of the great teachers they bring with this knowledge like Jesus. Now they need to move to another place because in that way work the spiritual magnetic point of the education. In that way work. One time it was in Lemuria, another time it was in Atlantis, another time we had the Mayas here, but later they went to that place. So we need to come to another place. So that's the great connection we can have today. Now, in that way we can understand the Hindus, and in that way we understand what's coming in the future for the spiritual education.
And we also had many, many Mayan temples, and we had Mayan roads, and settlements here in the Americas, in the Northland here, in the land of the eagle.
Yes.
Remember
yes.
The Miami Circle when that was going on, and you told me about all the other places that I would find?
Yes, that's very interesting because this, again, coming back to the all these people, like the archaeologists and the anthropologists, and all the official system we have. You know, when they speak the Maya, about the Mayas, only they mention this area where I live now, which is
right.
Yucatan, part of Mexico. But the Mayas, we went to many places. If we went to India, how can easy it was go to North America, you know. many seekers will understand, like example, where is coming from the name of Mississippi River? Nobody knows. But in the Mayans, I know, in the seven levels of Maya, we say Mississippi, we say Mississippi, Mississippi, Mississippi. That it means Miss is like clean. Pil is when the water went up. So, for us, the Gulf of Mexico, it was a lake. So, many thousand years ago, from that river came all the water, later made the Lake of Mexico in a sea and connected with the Atlantic. You see? But in the name, of Mississippi is a mystery for us, the Maya, an explanation on how happened that. Many years ago, when I was in that place, I went to check something in the river, Mississippi River, and I saw in some places, long time ago, the water, it went up, 100 meters up. So that it means, when all that glass, all the water came from the big lakes you have there in the area of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So they came all the water in the last grass age.
And they created a freshwater sea.
They create all this and came all the water and transport everything. So many words you have there, they don't know where it's come from, that name. Like Mississippi is not English. Like Manhattan for us Maya. So they have many names there. So they don't have the explanation. And this is very funny again, they would mention something very funny. When I went to New York City, so I tried to understand why they say Manhattan. So I did some investigation and I went to big library you have in the city, Manhattan City, New York City. And then I went to make some investigation about what the high society in the United States or the university know about that name. So I checked in many books, and the only explanation I find in the library in New York is saying Manhattan is an indigenous name, but they don't say what kind of language is that or what kind of indigenous the name came from. See? So until they know about that, but until there. So again, this is a big surprise for me, because you have many universities there in your country, you have many things that are very, very impressionant things, but why basic things like name or some place they don't know? I know you have a linguistics people there in the United States with high degrees, but why they don't know where it came from, that word Manhattan or Mississippi? So it looks like something is wrong there. Maybe the mind of these kind of people is not enough to understand anything.
So did you find out where Manhattan came from?
Yes.
Where does it come from?
In Maya we say Manhattan. Manhattan. It means something is going to happen here, and the people can see and they cannot stop. You understand that?
Yeah.
And what happened in New York in the 11th? Something they can saw and cannot stop.
Wow.
Something they saw and they cannot stop. What happened in the 11th, in September?
Uh-huh.
They saw things they cannot stop. What happened? In the name is the code. In the name is the explanation.
Will, what's that story about the stone that the Cherokee had that had the Mayan symbols on it?
Cherokee.
Well, let's
see.
I know.
Me one time, many pictures about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's this description? You know, it's today our mind we use in different way. Not long time ago. Long time ago is much more pure. Our mind to understand things. Today it looks like we have many contamination in all ourselves. That's one of the reasons we don't understand many things. You see, for, you know, the contamination, because, you know, the kind of culture we have today, is they not educate to the humanity with this kind of culture we have today. So, I think with that glyphs like I have from the United States, because when I was traveling there many years ago, so I went to many places and investigated about many places. They have huge pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Cahokia, in Missouri, they have many pyramids there. So only the area of Miami, I have a book, I got the book there. They speak about 300 pyramids they have in the area of Miami. So I think a long time ago, maybe not only the Mayas, many people, they built pyramids many years ago, so not only the Mayas, but the knowledge of the pyramid is the same in every place, because, you know, in honor to the father son, they built the pyramids. And they did that not only in the United States, they did it in Egypt, the Incas in Peru, the Mayas here, the Aztec in Mexico City. So I think they have the same idea, they did pyramids there.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
In the United States. So, remember this is very important. Today, any people, they like to go inside the United States. The most part of America is to go inside because, you know, now they have many rules for to go inside. But long time ago, before the Europeans come to this land, you know, the cons, you can travel any place you like. Nobody is going to ask you some passport. So I think it's long time ago, it's more free. And then everybody can go in the place they like to go and establish in the place they like to establish. So it was very different. The mentality and the society and everything around human, it was completely different. So the most part, they went to places like Chaco Canyon, and the same people, they went to do rituals in Moctezuma places, existing in Mexico, and, you know, they went back and coming, going for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
But only when the Europeans come to this land, so they divided the land and they create the country. So that symbol you have, the most probably is from here, and maybe another ancient civilization.
Well, I told you about the caves that I went into in the Rocky Mountains, and deep in these caves were all these Mayan ceramics and artifacts and sculptures. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
So we know you were in Colorado.
Okay. So it's like this.
Now, I think one of the things that people are really concerned about, because up here we have all these interpreters of Mayan prophecy. We have interpreters of what the Mayans taught them. And most of them, in my opinion, but you know that I can be difficult, because I learned from you. You have to read, you have to know the whole story. You can't just tell part of the story. It's like, remember when we were looking at the codexes, and you said, well, I can't tell you in part, I have to tell you the whole story. I need the whole codex. I can't just tell from part. I can't tell you the story from part. You need to understand the whole of it. And I know that up here there's a lot of fear because of this misinformation that you try to share with people. And everybody thinks the world's going to end in a couple of years, 2012. Mm. Do you have anything to say about that now?
Well,
take
first,
the fear away from people?
First, before to speak about something, it's necessary where it came from. This is necessary. Like, example, I said something about the Chinook King,
right?
Because it came from that time. But in the prophecy of 2012, well, we need to investigate where it's coming from, that information. You know, long time ago, not long time ago, less than 200 years ago, came this one of the person, the name's Eric Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And he established in Chichen Itza. So, Eric Thompson, he's American. And this American guy, he came to this Maya land, and he said he went to one place, the name is Kobat. It's a huge archaeological place in Yucatan. He went to Coba, and he wrote later, he discovered something about the Mayas. And he wrote about some Mayan calendars, and he mentioned the long count. And the long count, he said, 3,130 years before Jesus and the civilization of Maya started. In that year, and he counted from there to the 2012,
right?
And put all together that numbers, and all together that 5,125, and that number, he say, is when it's going to the end, the long count of the Mayas. So that information, the 2012 count, It's coming from Eric Thompson. So, I don't know, maybe he wrote, maybe he understood about the Mayan inscription. But that, because I'm not a specialist like Eric Thompson, he was. So, I don't know if he really discovered something. Because the 2012, this is not the Mayan information of the daykeepers. It's more the information of Eric Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
In all these writings, he present most of the investigators, like Serguez and another, he took all that information, and later they begin to say something's going to happen that year. But the big support of Eric Thompson is not only coming from Eric Thompson. The information Eric Thompson came because he received a lot of support for one magazine, the name in the United States is Times.
Mm-hmm.
That magazine, they put a lot of money to do a documentary for to say that Eric Thompson is the truth. So in that way, they went to all the places in the society of the United States, not only the society of the United States, many places in the world, because Times magazine put all the money to do a huge documentary about this. So Eric Thompson and Times magazine, it looks like they work together, or I don't know what happened there, but in really that information, they give a big promotion to many places with Time magazine. Maybe Eric Thompson, he discovered something there in Quebec. The next time you can come here, I can take you to the place, and you can see this stela where Eric Thompson, he said he discovered all that inscription. The only things I know is, until today, no Americans, no Russians, no Germans, they know how to read the Mayan inscription. They know something about them. They can make the decipheration of one symbol, two symbols, maybe a few symbols,
mm-hmm.
but only a few. Remember this, in the place of Pakalbotan, in Palenque, only one big stone. They have there 2,500 glyphs, different glyphs. 2,500. How many glyphs they made the decifrations the Western culture? I don't know, maybe, I don't know, 50, 10, 100, I don't know. But if today they don't know how to read the Mayan inscription, so how it did Eric Thompson this? So it's
very... He can't come to a conclusion from partial information.
Sorry?
He's only working with partial information.
Yes.
He's working with a small part and trying to color the whole and say, this is the way it is, and he doesn't know about the other 2,372 inscriptions.
Exactly. So... But most of the people, they've been repeating what Eric Thompson he said in his book. So for me, maybe it can happen, maybe not. But in my calculation calendars, it looks like I don't see things. So the most probably is going to happen something, but maybe it's part of the prophecy. But that I don't know exactly, but it's something bad can happen to the air is because we are the responsible. Humanity is the responsible for all the destruction they are doing in every place. Maybe in that way they can come together in 2012 and what's going to happen. But I don't know exactly about that. But the only thing I'm sure is Eric Thompson, he didn't understood everything about the Mayan civilization.
what we say up here is he didn't do his homework. He didn't study at all.
Okay.
Wasn't that interesting? Grandfather Hundbots, what do you know about the teachings about the healer, the one that traveled all throughout North, Central, and South America a couple thousand years ago? He presented himself to the Cherokees, and we call him the God of Wind and Water. This, not an Indian, not a white man, but he performed many miracles. Lord Kingsborough, the English member of the peerage, bankrupted himself in the 1700s researching the stories of the healer. And then the middle of the 20th century, Lucille Taylor Hansen wrote a book about him called He Walked the Americas. And what do the Mayans know about a light-skinned healer that appeared mysteriously among the people and left as mysteriously as he came?
Well, the only thing I can tell you is it's not a Cristobal Colon that the first person came to this country.
Oh, no.
Not?
Not.
Oh, wow, what are we going to do?
We'll have to rewrite history.
So, this continent, you know, one of the big mistakes is saying the new continent. See? And the Europe, the old continent. This is, that's not good. It's, the air is very old, that's only. And in the area of the Mayas, like in any place in this continent, you can find faces here also. Like the Chinese faces. You can find Yucatan figures like Buddha. Or the same black people, like you can find many, many faces in the place of Coatzacoalcos, in that place, in the same Coatzacoalcos, Veracruz. You can find many different places and different faces in all these continents. You know, I know many places, this continent, any place you can find different races, you know. And what's coming, some big surprise, like in Chichen Itza, you can see many faces. They not look like human faces. So it's how old we are here. So very old we are in this continent. How many thousand? Well, not exactly, Eric Thompson say in 2001, 13 years, the Mayas started civilization. That's not true. Another people, they write, the first Americans appeared in this continent when they crossed the stretch of Bering. That's not true too, because we were here. Where we came from, we don't know exactly, because remember, many big lands today is we're not seeing, it's under the sea, like Lemuria, like the Atlantida. So for me, all that books they wrote about the beginning of something is wrong. It's wrong because they don't understand. They excavate only 1 meter, and then when they excavate 1 meter, they took from something, they say, aha, this is the truth, and here start the things. You know, is that like the scientific, they work in that way. So the archaeologists in that way work too, so archaeologists, anthropologists, and all that kind of people. So, but not true, we are so very old in this continent, in this land, in all the world, we are so very old. Nobody knows exactly when we start something in some place. You see? So, many people, they came here. You can find different races in the same area of the Mayas. Like, the most probably you can go in another place like China, you can find some Mayas there. Or in Africa. Or later you can come to Europe, you can find African figures here. So, the good thing is maybe in the future, maybe they declare, we don't know exactly when the human starts, that's all. It can be much better.
Yeah, there were many stories of the pale one that that traveled all over North, Central, and South America, and the story of the Han Kabul of Itzamal, a man who had a symbol burned in his hand. It looked like the symbol of a T, and this this hand, which is always the left hand, is found in rock drawings all throughout the Americas. And the city that I live in is named Kabul, for an ancient chief named Kabul. And the people really don't know here what the origin was. The locals really don't know, but I do. So I thought I'd ask you about the pale one, because there's so many stories among my people, the Cherokee, of the pale one.
Yeah.
There was a small delegation of Cherokee that went down and visited Don Enrique a few years ago, and they asked Don Enrique, I believe, and you'll have to forgive my pronunciation, but I understand he was a Quechua Mayan.
Yeah, Quechua.
And they asked him, what are the Cherokee to you? And he looked at them and says, well, he says, we're the same people. He said he even knew a place in Egypt that he could refer us to, that we could go and prove that point to ourselves. But there, there is a website, www.CherokeeNationMexico.com, that you can go to that has pictures of ceramic works side by side showing Mayan people that had a completely different shaped nose, along with people that were very possibly Cherokees, because they had a very similar to a turban that they wore on their head. And the original Quechua people had an inverted nose, kind of like a ski jump. You not being from, yeah, I know what a ski jump is, but how would you explain it, Robert? Rather a convex nose rather than a concave nose rather than a convex nose.
Ski nose, yeah.
Right.
Hope nose.
And but the Cherokee lived alongside the Mayans and traveled up here probably about 1,500 years ago. This is what the Quechua taught Grandfather Red Hat, who was my teacher. And he said that once we, this was the second time that we came up here. We had been up here before and had migrated back down to Mexico, but about 15 to 1700 years ago, we migrated up here, and of course that would correspond with the great drought in the Yucatan. And we fought a war with the mound builders and agreed to intermarry with them. And then later on, we encountered the Six Nations, the Iroquois, Haudenosaunee people, and fought a war with them, and to stop that war, we agreed to intermarry with them. No, excuse me, we agreed to stop speaking our own language and speak their language. So the ethnologists believe that the Cherokee people, based on the language that they hear, are Iroquoian people, whereas we know that we come from Mexico, and we know that our wampum belts are tied in Mexican seaweed. So, I thought I'd let you know about the, if you didn't know about the connection between the Quechua people and the Mayan people.
Okay, let me treat you this information happening just when I went to Europe this month. We went to do some rituals with the Celtics. So, in the end of the ritual, I begin to not to pronounce the name of the sun in Maya, and I begin to say like Maya would say ki, we say in that way. So just when I finish to mention this name, so the Celtic people begin to say the name of the sun in Maya, and he say in this way, ding, ding, ding. is almost the same. Well, in that way, they pray to the sun, the Celtics. See? That's in the north of Germany. So, it's a connection. They, maybe a long time ago, we spoke the same language. So, happened the same communication. So it's good to mention to you this because maybe we went to the Celtic or the Celtic they came here before. I don't know. That's why. Okay?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are ancient connections. We may have all originated in Lemuria and Mu. The Asaga Siddha Marg teachers out of Peru teach that the Mayan people originated on Lemuria or Mu, I can't remember which. And that and then later on Lemuria and Mu sank beneath the oceans, and the origin story of my people, the Kitua people, is that we originated on an island off the shores of South America, and that island sank. We had foreknowledge of that and left. So both of these stories line up with each other and seem to indicate that there was a connection. And then when you bring in the Phoenician people who apparently were trading the world's oceans over 4,500 years ago because they had a perfect knowledge of the geography and topography of Antarctica. And this is known because a Turkish admiral named Piri Reis was in possession of a map. And it was only in the early 1980s that the United States had the technology to be able to look underneath the ice cap in Antarctica and see exactly what the landmass underneath looked like. And it looked exactly like the map that Piri Reis had, but very obviously that map predated the ice cap in Antarctica. And the other connection, the Phoenician connection, is that the bones of the Cherokee people that are buried all the way from Alabama to Pennsylvania along the Appalachian mountain chain, they have the dolichocephalic or long-headed type skulls, which are only found in coastal areas all the way around the world. And the Cherokee did have an outlet to the sea. So it is in all probability that the Cherokee were originally a seafaring people and traveled here our stories say that we traveled back and forth by boat to Mexico, but that we originated across the Eastern Ocean. And this is what our people tell. I mean, our people, a lot of our people laugh at these things nowadays. But I have a friend in New York who is a school psychologist who was speaking with some Chickasaw elders. And this man in New York, he is half Nottoway Indian and half East Indian. He was born in India.
Yeah.
And when he was speaking with the Chickasaw elders, he inquired the name of their clan, and he was stunned to hear the name that his father pronounced upon him when he was married, because when a man is married in his caste, that is the time they learn the name of their clan, and it was the same clan. And many, many, many Cherokee words and name places are almost identical to the words that come out of the Brahmin, the ancient language in India. So, you know, the old story that everyone may have, you know, come out of or at least had ancient ties to the Euphrates River Valley may be true. Of course, Zechariah Sitchin's story said that there were parallel colonies that were set up more or less at the same time, both here in the Americas and over across the Eastern Ocean. So I guess we won't know until records are more until we get more records. So what?
Well, didn't you ever see the picture of the Buddha? There are many statues of Buddha in India that show Buddha. Number one, on both sides of Buddha, he's got a sunflower. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Buddha is holding maize in his hands.
Oh.
Now, both the sunflower and the maize come from here.
Remember the name of the mother of Buddha? It was Maya.
That's right. It was Maya, that's right.
Isn't that funny?
What's in a name? What's in a name? That's amazing. Well?
Okay. We can go to the end and we can keep in connection for the next time.
Till the next time. We really appreciate you coming on for this interview. I know a lot of people are going to be glad to have heard from you, and I know they're going to want to hear more.
Humboldt teaches this knowledge in his Mayan mystery schools. He's literally reviving the ancient knowledge. And that's what the Mayan mystery schools are about. So that we don't lose that link to truly understand what's going on.
Okay.
So, people will be able to come to your site, Otter, and, connect there.
Absolutely. And, so we'll say goodbye to Grandfather Humboldt's and, this has been the July 31st edition of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and we will sign off. Ho!
Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Tell
let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper. Echoes of another time, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper,
prophecy keeper.
Oh, like a lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you gave me grows intently through the
air. And becomes an awesome dream.
So let the wind blow. Let the truth